Hi, Helena.
Yes, good. Hi, Leo.
Hi, here we are back again. I was just telling you the story about freedom of choice. I explained how I got to the understanding that if I want to understand freedom of choice, I need to look into the cell division as it takes place in our body and how I am now unfolding that story so that people can follow that. So basically, what I'm describing in those recordings in that Dutch series of conversations for the Dutch version of the story is the following. I started with describing that freedom of choice can only be seen in the living cell in the process of cell division. As a next step, I then go into how that works con through, how that continues to operate in the cell communication after that cell has divided. At the third level, I can then describe how that cell communication between those newly formed cells, and in fact, then in the whole body, must be looked at the interaction between all of the cells of the body. So that it is actually the system interface where freedom of choice operates is between all of the body cells and the environment. And the fourth level of description is then that freedom of choice operates only in interaction with the environment. Basically, it is all about, in fact, it is only about changing our involvement. That comes back to the principle of freedom of choice. It is the universe turning inside out on itself. Every part and every particle of the universe does the same. Every interaction between any part and any particle in the universe is based on the same. So the whole universe is basically a collage of pixels turning themselves inside out. And depending on how they connect, they form energies, or they form a time base, a continuity, or they form a structure, which also works as a reflector, a mirror for whatever else has been created. So, after those four levels of cell division, cell communication, the body boundaries, and our participation in our environment, then I can also go into how that works out for us, and basically how we learn to work with freedom of choice in essentially the transition from hell to purgatory to heaven to paradise, which is essentially learning to use freedom of choice just as a baby learns to walk, a child in playing learns to discover boundaries, an adolescent in working with boundaries learns to respect them. And as an adult, we can then have a responsible participation in creation. So there is no real difference between hell, purgatory, heaven, and paradise, or the development from baby to child to adolescent to adult. And in fact, they are the different stages of denial of freedom of choice, the ineffective freedom of choice, the learning to get to use and respect freedom of choice, and finally the responsible use of freedom of choice. But before I can describe that, of course, I need to describe where freedom of choice can be found and how it works. So let me just summarize what I've been describing at that level. In those four stages of cell division, cell communication, body boundaries, and involvement. So the first part is cell division, and This is a real nice example for bringing everything together. In cell division, you see that you have one cell, it becomes two cells. You see that you have one cell cycle, it becomes two cell cycles in two different cells. But you see that there is one membrane, it becomes two membranes. And you also see that you have one unit, which becomes two units, but stays one unity. So essentially you're dealing with the transition from unit to unity, from a state to a process. And I'm really glad that it is so simple to show what freedom of choice is and how it works. Because in the cell division dynamic, you can actually see it. You can, under the microscope, see that the structure of the cell, the material structure of the cell, as it described by classical science, so to say, starts to dissolve. You can actually see that it starts to flow. You can actually see that the molecules start to dissolve. You can see that the physics is replaced by the chemistry. You can see that the classical model must be replaced by a relativistic perspective. And then as the process goes on, you can see that in fact the molecules start to fall apart. So you are seeing that the cell is working with atomic energies. So it is no longer relativistic chemistry, but it is probabilistic atomic dynamics. So from the material you've gone to the molecular to the atomic. From the classical you go to the relativistic to the quantum level. And then you can actually see that the DNA is ripped apart, that molecules are broken apart, and that the atomic interplay is what really determines what is going on. But you also see that out of the molecules falling apart, new molecules form, so that there is something else going on which is deeper than that atomic level. You actually see that it is all about a reflection. Basically, one cell becomes two, one DNA becomes two. And the basis of description in science is that there is a phase reflection. So there is an inversion of phase, there is a mirroring taking place. And this is the best proof which you can see that the physical reality is determined by phase. If there is a phase reflection, then phase is the basis of everything that happens. So when we go from material to molecular to atomic, we go to the physical part of reality. We go to phase space. We go from matter to molecules to atoms to information. We go from classical theory to relativistic theory to quantum theory to phase theory. And the neat part of it is that phase space is defined by that principle of freedom of choice, which I discovered right from the start. It is that there is a boundary where something reflects. It is where something can turn into its opposite, or one cell can turn into two cells. It's a mirroring process. But the basis of it is only one thing, and that is phase inversion. And if you would have a wall and a ball, you can see that the ball hits the wall because the wall ball bounces back and you can catch it again. Now imagine that you have a ball and an invisible wall. You could throw the ball would bounce back to your surprise, but you would be able to catch it. Now you have a ball and a wall which are both invisible, an invisible wall, an invisible ball. And then you throw the ball and suddenly out of the blue something hits you, you don't know what it is, and you know there is a boundary outside of you. So that is what the four-dimensional logic is all about. You don't have to be able to see it, because at your border, at the border of your body, you will know that there was something unknown. So in that way, I have found my solution for how can I detect the unknown. My body will detect it for me.
Wow.
There will be something which I cannot account for in the environment, and I must be able to deal with it. Now, how do I deal with it? I deal with it with freedom of choice. I deal with it by using exactly the same principle of bouncing it back again by freedom of choice. I use the same principle of phase inversion, and that is the whole essence which you see at the bottom of cell division, that it is about phase inversion. And phase inversion has two components and four aspects. And essentially that is the whole part of the boundary, has one side and the other side of the boundary, which also means that there is the boundary and there is the thing outside of the boundary. So in the four-dimensional logic, you basically account for the function of a boundary even if you don't see it, even if you don't know it. So that is where I could get into the unknown. And basically, as I say, now I only realize that everything I did was the exact answer to that question I had then of how can I see the unknown.
Wow.
In cell division, you can then see that at the moment that bounce takes place, there is a slight difference that takes place. So that is where you can see that freedom of choice operates in that boundary. In the boundary, if you compare it to that ball and that wall, if the ball bounces back, you know there is a wall. If the ball does not bounce back, you know there is no wall. If the ball bounces back somewhere else, you see that there is a semi-wall, that there is a change taking place. In other words, if the ball bounces back perfectly, health is maintained. If the ball is not bounced back, life is lost. And if it goes somewhere in between, it will be illness or disease.
Okay.
So the whole basis of disease is right there.
Wow.
Right at the level where information and matter are connected, in that fourfold dynamic of integrating classical, relativistic, quantum and field theory, which is only the four aspects of a boundary turning inside out on itself.
Yeah.
So freedom of choice is that. And then you can see that it is there at the core of the cell the division decision. And out of that, the rest is just a consequence. So out of that come two cells. And that brings me to the next level of the story. So I said, okay, there's four parts to start with. One is cell division. The next is cell communication. The third is body boundaries. And the fourth is involvement. Having talked about cell division, showing that we go from matter to molecules to atom to information, we then can look at cell communication. In cell communication, basically, suddenly we see what happened inside of the cell is turned inside out. So we see that the process of cell division is also the turning inside out of the cell. Because first you had all kind of processes taking place within the cell which you could not see. They were hidden or occult. And suddenly you see them outside. So when you have two cells, you see that between the two cells, when the cell membranes still connect, that is what we later call the neurons. When the cells are seemingly separated, but not totally, the cells are like one balloon that you twist in your hand so that you have two balloons. You untwist it enough that you can see that there's a canal, a channel between them where you can have the exchange between the inside and the outside. And that is what we see later on as the hormones, that molecules from inside of the cell are now seen outside of the cell and they're taken in by the outside of the cell going inside again. So in that sense, the molecular exchange between the cells is the continuation of the molecular dynamic within the cell. And that's where you can see that the cells divided are two units, but they're still one unity. At other levels, you can also see that the polarity of the cells must line up, that they must form one circle. It is as if you have a circle and, say, a rubber band, and you roll the rubber band so that it forms a figure eight. But while you do that, there is still the memory of the original circle around it. So suddenly you have a figure eight in a circle.
Yeah.
And when you look at the cell dynamics, the cell communication at the level of sound, as notes, you have one note which become two notes, then that's actually what you see, because the two notes will create a higher harmonic and a lower harmonic, which are, let's call it, the shadow or the memory of the previous cell. So the connection between the two cells, the two notes, if they are harmonic or disharmonic, depends on if they connect to that overtone and that undertone, which represents that original cell. So when you look at the cell communication, you can see that via the membranes or the neurons, they are still in contact with each other at the surface level. Via the hormones, they are still in contact at the molecular level, the internal level. Via the sound waves, that's called the phonons, they are part of the electromagnetic spectrum, just like the photons. And then you can see that the sound waves, which creates the envelope of the unity of the cells, are, say, the equivalent of the membrane of that original cell, while the photon communication is like the equivalent of these molecular dynamics, when the materials have gone back to molecules, gone back to atoms, gone back to photons, as the basis of communication in life. So that's where you can then see that the cell communication makes use of exactly those same stages which we saw in cell division, where matter, molecules, atoms, and information followed up after each other. But in cell communication, you can see that matter, molecules, atoms, and information are used at the same time. The cells are physically in contact with each other. They are chemically exchanging molecules. They are electromagnetically exchanging the information of the molecule, because every molecule is also a spectrum. And what they are really exchanging is the information of the hologram field created by the photons involved. So that, in that sense, the whole dynamic of cell division, the bounce from physics to phasics and back again, is now seen as a sort of ongoing sound. That's also why I'm resolving that in Mathemusics, in the Science of Life website. So basically, that is the ohm of the ongoing harmonic of the cell communication, which takes place at the physical, the chemical, the electromagnetic, and the information level. That's also where, as I described that earlier, you can see cancer is an information disease of the loss of integrity of the loss of integrity of identity. But before we can really understand that, I need the two other steps. So I've now described the cell division decision and how information and matter are connected in that bounce between physics and phasics. I have shown that that leads to an inversion of the internal process within that first cell as the external process of cell communication. What I now need to do is go to the third step of that and go into the body boundary. Because from step one, we can see that the body boundary is not the membrane of the cell, but in fact the body boundary is when that cell divides and bounces back of that, for us, invisible phase space, and then shows that there is an invisible phase space because it bounces back. And that metaphor which I gave of that the ball bouncing back on an invisible wall. So with that in view, then we've seen how that continues with the cell communication. Basically, it is again the relationship between physics and phasics, now as the relationship between, let's call it, the electromagnetic field and the information field. And it's helpful to build a little bridge in this, because when you look at the electromagnetic field, you know that there is electricity that is connected to magnetism. But when you have electricity and magnetism running around in a loop, that will create radio waves. But radio waves, when they interact, they will create information. It's like information in formation. We actually see the creation process of information moving in formation.
Okay.
So this is the real fundamental process of what happens in the cellular interaction. But then you also see that this hologram of the cell turning inside out, which takes place on that electromagnetic field, is not just electromagnetic, but it goes at a much more complex level, because you can see that the electromagnetic field is composed of photon jumps, which will create electron jumps, which will create or induce electron oscillation, which will create or induce electron bonding. So that light field in a body will interact between the atoms. In interacting between the atoms, it will create energy jumps, that's called the electron jumps, within the atoms. So suddenly the photon field is an information process. The electron jumps within the atoms are a quantum relativistic atomic process. But then when two atoms are next to each other, and the jumping of the internal electron of one atom starts to create the jumping of an electron in the other atom, then you get an oscillation of electrons between those two atoms, and that's called electron valence, or an electron oscillation, or a bonding electron oscillation, or electronic bonding oscillation. Basically, the electron jump from one level to the other in the one atom sort of has the effect of a seeming jump across to the other atom, as a result of which it can do an electron jump to another level. It's the same bounce from physics to phasics and back again, but now from electron orbit to electron orbit and back again. So if it is not jumping from electron orbit to another orbit in one atom, but if at the same time it can do a jump from electron orbit to another electron orbit in the other atom, then we create that dynamic of electron valency, that it seems as if there is an electron hopping up and down between those two atoms. But in fact, the electron valence is that there is an electron hopping up and down in the one atom, plus a coupled and opposite electron hopping up and down in the other atom. So it seems as if there is an electron hopping up and down between the two.
Okay.
Which is not the case. But it is the same principle of that reflection of physics and phasics. By the way, this is also the first time that I can make that explicit in this manner. So then we go to the next level. From the photon jumps, we went to the electron jumps. From the electron jumps, we went to the electron oscillation. And then from the electron oscillation, we can go to electron bonding. And the electron bonding basically requires this kind of electron jumping up and down between two atoms in pairs. Not apples, not pairs, no, in complements, in duals, one and the other. So that's where you then see that you have the semblance of an electron hopping up from the one to the other, plus an electron hopping back from the other to the one. So it seems as if there is not an electron jumping from the one to the other and from the other to the one, but it seems as if the atoms are sticking in place, and that in that place they are now connected.
Okay.
So that what happens there in this photon jump, electron oscillation, electron bonding, is actually the transition from information to electromagnetism, to chemistry, to physics.
Okay. But
as you can understand from this description, there is no physics. There is only an electromagnetic field with lots of bonded electrons. Likewise, there is no chemistry. There is only an electromagnetic field with lots of oscillating electrons. The electromagnetic field, in fact, is interesting, but it is, let's call it, dumb, because it doesn't have meaning if there is not a connected photon field which gives it meaning.
Okay.
So that's certainly where we see the actual connection between physics, between information and matter, that in the electromagnetic field, on the one hand it is information, on the other hand it is matter. You can look at it as physics, chemistry, electromagnetism, and photonics, or you can look at it as the bonded electrons, the oscillating electrons, the atomic orbit jumping electrons, and the photons. But essentially you're looking at the relation between physics, chemistry, electromagnetism, and light, which is where we can see that in science, and I call it integral science, you must connect classical theory, which describes that lattice of bonded electrons. You must see that relativistic theory is a part of that, addressing those oscillating electrons. Then quantum theory is a part of that again, describing the part of the jumping electrons. But the basis is physics, that it is the light field, the light hologram. So at that level you can see that the body as a whole is a hologram, even though you see it as a material. But that is of course also what you see when the body dies, that the physical body falls apart. Basically goes back to chemistry, basically go to back to electromagnetism, basically goes to pure information, the hologram. And that is something which I described long ago in a paper called Bio-Holograms. But now I've gotten to the level that I can start to describe why the body in its complexity is a conduit for information, and that in fact the cells and producing body materials are creating a motherboard in such a way that they can optimize their freedom of choice. And I can then bring together in the description of the body boundary that the body boundary actually connects, it operates right at the core of every cell division. The body boundary is in the electro dynamic, the communication between the cells, but I have already explained that that communication is at the level of physics, chemistry, electromagnetism, and information. What we simply need to understand is that that body boundary is a hologram, in fact an electromagnetic field in which the jumping photons, the jumping electrons, the oscillating electrons, and the bound electrons are all part of the same system and the same structure. And in order to be able to do that, I will need to show the principle of the singularity and how the whole body is a fractal unfoldment of one singularity creating a hologram. But before I do that, it is better if I end this recording so that we can keep the quality of the recording. So I'll just hang up and come right back to you.
Yeah, good, wonderful.